Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Fixing to see this thing get real exciting. Shut it down, says USA Today. Turn it up, says Christopher Hart of the American Adversaries. That's right, folks. You got us. It's live. We're here on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Got Nick LoCicero on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Got the chairman of the board right here, Mike McBath. We got a lot to talk about tonight. There's missing evidence out there. Maybe we can figure out where it might be. Donald Trump was in Tampa this afternoon. Hillary Clinton's campaign is straining under the weight of the foundation, as it were. Mike McBath hit that one on the nail on the head way
long time ago. I said this will be the Achilles heel of Miss Clinton.
That's right. We got polls. We got everything tonight, right?
Yeah, Chris, this is a poll I think both of us, I don't know if we were shocked by it, but I think our listeners might enjoy this.
Yeah.
They pointed out at the Democratic convention, over 1,000 women were asked if they would ever have sex with Bill Clinton. Now, the response was, this is surprising, 32% said yes, and the other 68% said never again. I wonder if that is true.
All right. Anyway, we got a big show lined up for you tonight, and we do have poll question. Well, we do have a poll question. We also have some polls. Brand new Atlantic University poll, for instance, out today. Several polls that we're going to be talking about. But for our poll question, let's go to our producer, the man on the bridge, Nick LoCicero.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Our poll question is concerning the University of Central Florida today. UCF. And the story broke today in the Orlando Sentinel that they may be constructing a statue of the former football coach, maybe outside Bright House Stadium there.
And now, which coach?
George O'Leary.
Oh, not Don Jonas or O'Leary.
Yes.
Oh, well, Chris, we were trying to figure out earlier, if your record is 81-60, what do you have a statue up there for, just mediocrity? No, I'm serious about this, right, Chris?
What's the exact question again?
Well, should UCF be constructing a statue of former UCF football coach George O'Leary, yes or no?
Okay, excellent question. Real quick, while you're on the air, you doing your show tonight?
Yeah, WW News Tonight, 9 to 11 p.m. over at 1520 WBZW and online at WDWNT.com, where you can watch us, listen to us. We'll be talking about gators, not the university.
Talking about those animals running around the lakes?
Not the University of Florida, no.
Yeah, okay.
The other kind. And of course, playing Disney Parks Pursuit for some great prizes.
Oh, how'd the dating game go?
It went very interestingly. We had a couple guys backed out. I ended up having to be a surprise contestant. I did not get chosen. And then there was some, let's just say personal issues between an ex-girlfriend and the guy that the girl chose. And the girl chose not to go on a date with him because there's too much drama.
Nick, you hold this dating game by radio?
Disney family.
Can they see a picture of you and everything?
No, that's the point. You know, if you ever watch the Dating Game TV show,
you can't see the person.
I can't see the...
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, you remember?
What did they miss out?
You're going just
I appreciate that. I mean, well, you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. They really missed out on
that
one.
That's it. I'm telling you what.
Wow.
All right, so that's tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
All right, so we'll give you an update on our poll question a little bit later on in the show, and then, of course, we'll have the final tally before we go off the air tonight. That's ridiculous.
George O'Leary situation. Yeah. I mean, I sit there. They paid the guy $2 million a year, right?
Yeah.
I think he was there about 12 years, which is not really a very long time. You know, the great coaches are at their schools 20, 25, 30 years. Not that that may happen in the future. But I think when you honor someone to put them out in front of the stadium, I would certainly want a coach that was just a championship coach. I don't want to have mediocrity, you know, idolized in front of my football stadium. And then my biggest concern about George, and I, you know, this isn't personal at all to the individual. It's just track records or track records.
Right.
Is, you know what, the way he left last year, you know, as a head coach, you're there to motivate your fellas, teach them a lesson in life, try to show them perseverance, try to show them why we, you know, want to move ahead. And then during the darkest time in, you know, their own whatever,
football, recent football,
yeah, he walks out on them.
Yeah.
Now, is that the sign of someone you want to honor? And I don't think George is a Democrat either, but I don't know. But I appreciate what he's done. Certainly the stature of the football team has been enhanced, but I think that comes with money, you know, through the alumni boosters and everything else. He was paid extremely well for a coach of his numbers.
And let's not forget that one of the darkest moments in UCF football history actually occurred under his watch, too, when that I forget his name. But
started P.L. Planchard.
Yeah, I think Planchard was his name, yeah.
Had died from that incident.
Yeah, and evidently some of the coaching staff knew that he, you know,
and again,
had issues.
I don't hold anything against him. I'm just saying UCF.
You said the name. If they're going to build a statue, it should be to Don Jonas.
Yeah,
because
he started it from scratch.
He started the program from scratch. He got it up on its legs, and he was, back in those days, this was before Nick went to UCF, but I was going to UCF back then, and he was legendary around campus. I mean, you saw what John Jonas walking around campus, everybody, you know.
I remember many of the players on that team.
Yeah.
And actually, they had a pretty good record, I think, as I recall.
Yeah, after the first season. And I believe the first season, I mean, they had to borrow equipment to train in and stuff.
He
had nothing to work with.
Now, you talk about perseverance, getting things done, all the kids held together, no one.
That's right. I might put Trevor Colburn right there next to him.
And I can assure
Trevor was the president of UCF at that time, and it was him that really began football at UCF. And then he went out and he got Don Jonas.
Right.
And, of course, Don Jonas had the local appeal as well because he played for the Orlando Panthers.
That's exactly right. And
at the old Tangerine Bowl.
That's exactly right. But, again, it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays itself out. Yeah. I don't know if this is signed, sealed, and delivered, but I would have to think that over again. You know, you're paying a guy $2 million a year. They go 0-12, and they go, yeah. That's up to you.
All right. Okay. All right. Somebody's calling you to complain about your... Is that George? All right.
Yeah. Wait a second.
You can call us, folks, 407-774-8255. So Donald Trump lit down in Tampa today and lit up the crowd with another rip-roaring speech over there from teleprompter. But, you know, he does at times go a bit off the prompter, usually to emphasize, you know, what he's talking about on the prompter.
You are right about that, Chris, because I watch it, because I'm always watching how far off is he going to go. And he does go off some, but not too much.
Right.
But he gets very emphatic when he's off. And, you know, I think he's doing a terrific job, and I'm looking forward to next week's numbers.
And, yeah, that's right, the poll numbers.
Yep.
He's going to Mississippi tonight. So two big states, two big rallies. And he was in Austin last night. Now, I saw that. I saw the Austin. As a matter of fact, CNN started showing it live, and then when they could see that he was the tame Trump, they peeled away.
Yeah, it gets boring to them.
But, of course, one American News Network covers it from beginning to end. And it was a tremendous speech, and the crowd was raucous, and you could tell it was a huge crowd. And if you noticed the people standing behind him, the VIP props,
which I always do, right?
It was a very diverse crowd.
Very
you had a couple
so.
Of black fellows back there. You had a number of Hispanic women back there. You had women. You had men. You had these young guys wearing T-shirts that they kept trying to show Trump the T-shirt and stuff. I mean, it was something. And this is campaigning old style.
Right.
A lot of people say, "Oh, he's changing the rules and everything." Really, what he is doing is he is campaigning the way candidates used to campaign before we had social media, before we had all this scientific application of social sciences to the election process, where you got like the Obama model is, you know, each and every voter in the crucial places, and you know what they like to have in their coffee, and you know where they go at night, and you know who they hang out with. So you know what to say when you talk to him. You know what words motivate him. I mean, that's applying science to politics. He is applying old school politics to this campaign,
Chris,
by barnstorming the country, zigzagging the country in his jet, making huge speeches that are put together 1 or 2 days in advance, and he gets huge crowds. This is unheard of.
I know you can remember when the presidential candidates used to speak from the back of a train.
Well, it wasn't too far from that,
because
my dad used to haul my brother and I down to any time a candidate would come, and they would. It was similar to that, where they would. I remember seeing Richard Nixon at the Orlando Executive Airport.
The other thing too today, they mentioned that there was hecklers in the crowd, but he's really gotten control of this. You know, he was very professional about it. He smiled. It didn't slow him down. Maybe a temporary pause. But I mean, he's on his game.
There was part one, part two will be tonight on Sean Hannity, a quote unquote town hall. Now this is done in a fairly large theater that looks like it seats a couple of thousand people, but it's Trump up on the stage. And last night they had mothers of young women and men who had been killed by illegal aliens.
Right.
But there were a number of protesters there last night,
It didn't diminish it then.
Let me tell you something. If Trump's not paying them to be there, he should.
Because the people go, USA, USA.
Exactly.
You got it. He fires them up even more.
How many times do I have to say?
Yep.
Politics is like professional wrestling. You want that enthusiasm. You want the people stomping. You want them yelling. You want them shouting. You want them standing up screaming your name and USA. That's what you want. And whatever it takes to get them there, the Lord is providing.
Do you know the night he's up in Mississippi?
Yeah.
They expect 10,000 plus tonight.
Yeah.
But even when you watch like last night, it looks like so much fun. You would go for the fun, just to be a people watcher. It is insane, I love it.
It is remarkable that he has indeed restored fun to politics.
Yeah, and
right?
he doesn't lie less or more than anybody else. So I think he's doing a pretty good job.
And that's kind of what we try to do around here.
Yeah, so, have a little bit of fun. Don't take yourself too serious.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. And we come back. Paul is on the line. He wants to talk about the statue man.
The statue. I wonder how tall it's going to be. 6 inches,
all
12
I
inches,
know is
3
I hope,
feet.
If they do, I hope they build it out of something flammable. We'll be right back.
I'm Mike McBath. This is dedicated to Hillary Clinton. For all you Democrats that are having a great week, I don't think you could find yourself in a better position. And I'm here with Chris Hart. But we do have a caller about George O'Leary's statue.
Ooh.
And, you know, I think we covered it. Again, this is nothing personal. We think it's a bit premature to put up the greatest coach in the history of UCF statue, and particularly with that type of one loss record.
All right, Paul is up. Paul, thank you for holding. We appreciate you being there.
Yeah. Hey, I had to call because you brought up Don Jonas and George O'Leary. First thing I want to say is my father had the contract to sell. Remember those paymaster check writing things way back when?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Then you pull the handle, crank the handle down, and put your check. Well, my father had the whole state of Florida. He used to go around the whole state of Florida selling them, and he told me more than once, that Don Jonas still owed him $400 for one of the payments.
Well, you know, if they do a statue of Don, and we can sell the statue and then pay your father.
Mike, I want to tell you, I think you hit the nail right on the head with this George O'Leary statue. And I just want to, you know how they have the Bay Hill Invitational presented by MasterCard?
Right.
They can't get enough sponsors, you know, in the title of the game. Well, this statue should be the Mike McBrath presentation of a George O'Leary statue. And when they unveil it, George has a lot of cash in both hands sticking out of his pocket.
Well, you know, I mean, again,
he
like
certainly
I say,
made out all right.
I'm a fan of UCF, but I just think, you know, when you have a record of 81-60, you're paid $2 million a year, you are paid to win. I mean, that's the object of playing football. It's not to break even or to be below, right?
Right.
So, you know, I just think way too premature.
I wouldn't make, you know, this is too early for him. And as I said, if you wanted to put a statue up for somebody that really is responsible for the UCF football program, it would actually be Trevor Colburn.
Yeah. Dr. Colburn
is the one who had
it.
Nobody gave it a chance to survive even back then. They thought it was a ludicrous idea.
Yep.
And Colburn stood by it. He went out and got Jonas, and they started literally with nothing. They had a big field. That's all
Chris,
they had. They didn't even have goalposts.
Right. I remember the fellow who's very successful, Billy Giovanetti, another guy named Ron Johnson. All these fellows played at UCF. They're all great business people. They're high-quality kids. Now, the one plus, one, maybe there's some more, but the one great plus, though, for O'Leary is his graduation rate was at the top of the ladder.
Yeah, well.
Now, is that the advisors or is that the head coach? I don't know. You know what I mean? But I'm talking strictly football.
All right. Well, that's our poll question. So, Paul, I guess we're going to put you down as a no.
I wanted to tell you about the inscription on the statue.
What should it say? Further and further. Okay.
What should it say?
Mike, this is where you hit the nail right on the head. The inscription says, "Dare to be mediocre. It worked for me."
I like that.
Well, if you're getting $2 million, it does work for you if your record isn't too good, right?
Great. Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate you calling.
All right.
But Jonas was a character, as you know. I mean, just as a person. What a character. What a guy. And the personality, probably in the beginning.
He would walk around the campus with those big old stogie cigars.
Oh, yeah. I told you that one time I was running in a 5 mile or a, you know, 5K with him, and he's running like 2 feet in front of me, and he smoked the cigar while we ran. And I mean, I like died on there. Don, put the thing down. You know, he smoked it the whole race.
And by the way, Don is still around.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, Mike sees him fairly regularly.
Yeah, very, just, you know, high quality, good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he loves talking football.
Oh, yeah.
As we do too. We love talking politics too, but, you know, we're coming up on this break. Before we do that, though, we want to remind you, tomorrow is it's already Thursday again tomorrow, and that is Contest Thursday. By the way, Friday, Colonel Danny McKnight is going to be on the show with us. We're looking forward to that. And both tomorrow and Friday night, we should not be interrupted by the Rays. They're playing late on Friday night. They're playing early tomorrow. But is tomorrow being Contest Thursday, you'll be playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, which if you like, you can use it at our September 7th 6-year anniversary gala celebration. And that's compliments of Jerry and Jana Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And you will get no better care for your Mercedes-Benz than you'll find with Jerry and all the guys over there, Joe and Paul Smith and everybody. Jerry and Jana are great folks. And by the way, they're now also servicing BMWs. So if you got a Beamer, zip on over there and they'll take care of that baby for you too. Or if you need to have it hauled over there, in case you do, they'll take care of that. All right. So, and you'll also get a $10 card to Tijuana Flats, compliments of Rick Brown, who will be in the studio with us tomorrow night to judge the contest. And this has to do with the emails. You know, we've had these email dumps again, another email
Chris,
dump.
I mean, we, you know, there's 15,000 of them that we know are out there. We know there's another, 15?
Well, now there was the 30. Now there's another 15,000, right?
So there's obviously more somewhere
and then
in circulation.
What WikiLeaks keeps coming up
and
with.
And I'm of the opinion that some of our people who listen may be getting these emails and they don't realize that they were directly to Hillary. And what we're in our contest, we're asking them to call in and give us the email that you got. Now, one guy just really, I have to say, he was a bit premature for the contest.
Well, he, I tell you, once we start talking about it, if people get the itch, they can go ahead and get in it.
This guy really was on the ball because the object of this was, you know, you want to convey to Hillary, you know, your thinking. Well, remember how Hillary's been out there the whole time telling everybody, oh, this is so boring. It's about my yoga and just frivolous little things, walking the dog and the cat, right?
Yep.
Well, our friend Dino, who called yesterday, came in and his email was a little bit different. He defined yoga. He said, it's your organization gets access.
Right. That's the code. Yoga
that's
is
the code.
Is code for
your organization gets access.
Right.
I thought that was terrific.
It is.
And
Dino
I know
came
we
up
got
that.
Some,
yep.
Our listeners tomorrow, and we got some other ones that called in premature, but
that's all
you
right.
know, his was so, you know, yoga. Yes, she is interested in yoga.
That's right. So that's what we're looking for tomorrow night.
That was terrific.
What did the email you got your hands on say? All right. All right. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the evil woman, the Hillary Clinton. Yeah, the strain under the foundation. That's interesting that the foundation. All right, that's right. That's the killer bee, Brian Blair himself. We had a great time Friday night.
See, honestly, he was extremely delightful. And I mean that in all seriousness.
Yeah,
I mean, very articulate.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about actually the CTE concussion problem, which the.
A lot of wrestlers suffer from.
WWE, there's a class action against them because many of these wrestlers, particularly in that older period, who remember the cage matches where they fell out of the ceiling and all that.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
These fellas have
the best ones.
Yeah, they are plagued.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to him, hopefully we'll have testing here. We're actually aiming toward the Pro Bowl to do it that weekend here in Orlando. I'm going to see if I can get a bunch of these wrestlers, you know, tested, at least help them out any way we can.
Yeah, you mentioned some of these matches back in the day. You know,
remember, that was hilarious.
Mick, one of the greatest matches ever. You know, to watch anyway, was Mick Foley against The Undertaker in a steel cage match.
Oh, I love that.
And this went on about a half hour, 40 minutes. And at one point, they were up on the top of the cage.
Right.
Undertaker picks up Foley, you know, by the throat.
Right.
And throws him down through the cage. And he falls about, I don't know, it's 12 or 15 feet, lands on the paramedics come in, they put him on a stretcher, and they're hauling him out, and he rolls off the stretcher and goes back in, and they go at it some more. At some point in the match, Foley, now he was a glutton for punishment,
right.
He had a bag of tacks. Every now and then, he would pull out his bag of tacks,
right.
And he threw him out into the ring, and lo and behold, Undertaker grabbed him by the throat, picked him up, and slammed him down into the tacks.
I'll tell you, I mean, and it can get pretty...
Well, when it was finally over...
Vigorous.
When it was finally over, Foley was sitting in the locker room, and his brother was with him. And according to his brother, Foley looked over and said, and by the way, he had about 20 or 30 tacks stuck in his back. And he looks over at his brother and he goes, oh, man, I forgot all about the bag of tacks. These guys, and people think it's fake. Yeah, you go in there and go 1 minute with one of these guys and tell me that's fake.
I'm always amused when they stand on the top of the ropes and jump down. I can imagine how many injuries that have been inflicted that maybe they don't show up right away, but you're with them for life.
Yeah, the high flyers.
That's why I
suffer.
And the bad thing about that those poor fellows under Vince McMahon, particularly in the early stages, had no pension plan. You know, this guy did not take care of him the way he should have.
Well, that was old
many
school.
Many of them are suffering today.
Old school. But we had a great time at Cafe Positano with
that
me,
was.
Brian Blair, and Alex Porto. He came over and joined us. And, of course, Marilyn and Carolyn and their friend Linda. And Marilyn was the winner of our Who's Going to Be Trump's VP contest.
Yep, she is an elk.
Yeah.
And we went through
Turns
elk
out.
Signs,
you did,
which
huh?
I can't expose on the radio.
All right. But we had a great time.
She was an amusing individual.
Yeah, and we intend to have a great time on the 7th, 2 weeks from tonight. I want you to come over and help us celebrate our six-year anniversary on the air. And, of course, we're going to have a spaghetti eating contest.
Yeah.
And if you want to get in on that contest.
Redheads are going to be there. They've reserved their table already.
Yep.
And then our good friend Lloyd is going to be there.
Yeah, Lloyd Marcus is going to be there. That's right. So
I hope he enters. I'd love to see him enter.
I just want to hear him sing.
Well, I agree with you.
Which he's going to do that night. By the way, if you would like to make reservations for that, after the contest, after the show, Lloyd is going to be entertaining us with some of his songs. And he's a great entertainer, great singer and composer. If you'd like to make reservations for Cafe Positano for that night or any night or occasion, you can do that simply by calling them at 407-774-8255. 407-774-8255. No, is our number. The number for Cafe Positano.
Are you okay, Chris?
Is 407-774-8080.
As I said, we're doing testing right before the Pro Bowl, Chris. You'll be okay.
All right. Well, you know, maybe Hillary Clinton should.
She ought to stop by first.
Exactly, because as we revealed on the show yesterday, WikiLeaks, as part of one of their dumps, dumped some emails that show that there's a great deal of concern within the State Department and amongst Hillary's inner circle in particular. That would be Jake Sullivan, Uma Wiener, and Cheryl Mills, about how you treat and what to do concerning Parkinson's disease and the side effects of the drugs that you use to treat it. And so more questions are swirling about that. No one is yet in the mainstream media hit on the P word yet, but they keep sort of bringing this up because Trump keeps emphasizing she doesn't have the stamina. They had Dr. Carson on MSNBC this morning talking to him about it, and Carson said the same thing we said on the show last week. Put them both through a rigorous examination. Right. Both of them should be. This should be.
Yeah, this national security.
Exactly.
Put them in.
Exactly.
I agree.
And let's see what we come up with. All right. And so this is still lurking out there, right?
And it's only going to get bigger and bigger. It's not going away, I assure you that.
We want to thank Dr. Ted Noel, and once again, we're going to get him to follow up on this stuff for bringing it to our attention, and we have brought it to your attention, and now it is slowly being brought to the rest of the nation's attention.
So, Chris, when he follows up, are we waiting for her to fall off the stage or want to bring him back? Or what?
Well,
hey, Ted, why did she fall off the stage in a fit?
Well, you can expect something else to happen. Having said what that, though, as a matter of fact, she is not going to be probably falling off a stage because, according to the Clinton campaign, she is going to be less and less out campaigning. She's not going to do, you know, the Jimmy Kimmel thing the other night. All right, she's not going to be doing any more of that. There will be no press conferences, which means by the time the election is held, it will be almost a full 11 months since this woman had a press conference. Her last press conference was when she was wearing the orange suit in the gymnasium, and she said she made the joke about wiping a server with a cloth. What do you do, with a cloth or something like that?
She laughed at it like it was a big joke. You know, this isn't the Fish and Game Commission, baby. You know what I mean? We want to know what's in there for the American people, but it's been more than 263 days since she's been confronted.
Yeah, it will be over 300 days. It'll be about 330 days by the time the election comes around.
It just shows you how artificial the press is, that they don't force this on them. Force it.
Or at least demand to know why.
Right.
Why? What is she afraid of? What is she afraid of?
30,000 emails.
Well, not only that, but also perhaps what may happen to her under a highly stressful situation like that. Because remember, under a press conference, what happens? As soon as one question is answered, as from you getting hit from all these voices, from all these different angles, right? You hear the cameras going clicking and everything. That can be, that can be a huge distraction, especially to someone.
So you think it could set something off?
Oh, it most definitely will set
something. So you'll be holding one of those roller wheels that look like...
Let's just put it this way. The next time Hillary Clinton does a press conference, if ever there is a next time, and if she becomes elected president, there will have to be a next time, but it will no longer be the press conference like we know them to be. There will be new rules that will be issued from the White House, from high above, that when the Queen is addressed, it will be one person at a time, the questions will be pre-submitted ahead of time, and then the schedule of the people who actually get to stand up and ask the questions will be predetermined. The reporters will all know so that no one steps out of line. If you do step out of line, it'll be the last time you are allowed anywhere near the White House grounds.
You remember the bathroom break?
It was, yeah.
That's going to be incorporated in there, too. She'll probably be allowed five or six.
Let's just say it won't be business as usual down to the White House, 1600 mm-hmm. Penn Avenue. All right, let's go to Alan on the line. Alan, thank you for calling tonight.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, hey, all right.
Hey, I got something for Donald. What maybe he should do is appoint a doctor, per se, to give himself a physical and push that out towards Hillary.
That's not a bad idea at all. I think mm-hmm. that's an excellent
show
idea.
Show his health, and now show, because they keep asking for his tax returns that he won't show, which he doesn't have to because he's a citizen. He's not.
No, yeah, no, it's not a requirement at all. It was done as a political ploy. Nixon started doing it because he was always dogged with the questions of being I'm not a crook. You remember that?
Right.
I'm not
right.
a crook.
Correct.
And, right, exactly. And so he did that to show people he was on the up and up and everything. Mm-hmm. And then each candidate after that decided to do the same thing. It's just a political grandstanding ploy. Look at me, I pay my taxes.
Yeah, well, I remember Reagan took the physical.
Yeah, that you're actually right. You're absolutely right. And by the way, Eric Trump said on CNBC this morning, he said what we said here on the show. I think I said it. He said, if we give out our taxes, first of all, you're going to have a bunch of people looking at them that don't know what they're looking
because
at.
Because of the appreciation of all the properties and everything
and
else.
And they'll be able to say anything they want to say
taxes
about
it. A low tax bracket. So, no, I wouldn't hand it out either because the public will not understand it.
Yeah.
What the Democratic Party wants.
I do think, Alan, that's a great idea that he should go ahead and
physical challenge. Let's get it on.
Exactly.
Maybe they strip down on stage.
Oh, no. I don't know if we want to go there.
No, let's not go that far.
But, yeah, definitely. All right. Hey, thank you, Alan. Great idea. All right.
Could you imagine that? That would be a big show. You know, like they stripped on stage.
No. Maybe they'd do that on the Vice Network.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. The Clinton campaign, as I said earlier, is straining under the weight of the foundation. Now, Mike, he hit this one way early on. It was allowed a year ago or so.
Right.
That he said that it was going to be the foundation.
And I said, this will bring her down because, you know, she is a thief and money is her god.
Yeah.
And it's the wrong god, baby. And you're headed for big trouble. So.
It is, and she is now stuck with that foundation. And however, you're beginning to hear the liberal media, USA Today. You got one there too.
Right?
They're saying shut it down, shut the foundation down, turn all its assets and everything over to some other foundation, and let them handle the business.
So, Chris, we talked about the LGBT community now. You know, they want the Clinton Foundation closed. How about that? I mean, her big supporters.
Wow.
And primarily because the receipt of the money comes from nations that do not support LGBT rights.
Now, finally, they noticed.
So maybe they're figuring it out.
The foundation is...
Trump is the guy that helps you, not Hillary.
Exactly. This foundation is, let's just say, a great learning tool for a lot of people out there who weren't aware of these things, mm-hmm. because this has brought the treatment of women and gays in these Middle Eastern monarchies to the forefront, right? It's always been out. It's always been there. It's not like that behavior.
It's not like it's new.
Right.
It's a history of it.
Right. But nobody, you know, paid any attention to it. But now they are because of the foundation and the Clintons. It is just so glaring in your face. This is something we brought up with our interview with Peter Schweitzer, remember? Mm-hmm. And it's part of the Clinton cash thing.
Yeah.
And that is that a lot of these organizations that they have helped out run entirely contrary to the liberal causes. Right? They help out these big mining concerns that strip mine and destroy forest. They take donations from misogynistic regimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, the LGBT. What are they going to say now if they refuse to shut down the foundation?
I think they're just going to do like they do all the time. They're going to ignore it. In other words, I call it deny, 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 lie, lie, lie.
It's just they're just going to continue on.
But I'm asking, what are the LGBT people going to do? You see,
I have an expression I shouldn't use.
But well, but but the point is, they're having a crisis.
At least they're thinking about
a moment of crisis, if you will. Oh my Lord, the people who we were thought so great, our champions,
have worked against us.
That's a rude awakening, is it not? USA Today, MSNBC, the Morning Jokesters were all calling for it. They were actually ridiculing our old buddy James Carville. They were even talking like James Carville like this, because James Carville was on there yesterday saying if they shut down the foundation, why, people will die. People will die out there. Mm-hmm. Somebody will go to hell. Mm-hmm. Now, that's exactly what he said. Somebody going to go to hell. They shut down the foundation. Why, what do you mean, Bill Clinton? He never took one dime. He never was paid one dime by that foundation. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Bill Clinton was never actually written a check by the foundation. Here's how it works. They got their own personal stash of money as a result of the foundation and her being a Secretary of State, right? Him making the speeches and all that stuff. The money that goes to the foundation pays for their travel expenses, that is, first class private jets.
You know, they have rented complete floors of major hotels.
Oh yes.
I mean, the very finest suites, and your charity money is helping that.
Their clothes, everything. They don't spend out of their personal checking account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Except maybe to give $1 million to their own foundation to make it look like they're you know, philanthropic.
I had to laugh about that when I heard they gave 10%. I'm thinking, well, that's not too bad. And then it goes to their foundation.
Their own foundation.
Great.
Oh,
and then they're not, what is it, 90%, 10% or 11% is paid out. Imagine, again, it makes me sicker. These poor people in Haiti, which these people ran a sham on that Haiti deal. That is so disgusting that you would do this to these people for more money. Wow.
They're cold-blooded, cold-hearted
folks. They're the true Deadpool people, boy.
Look, I'll tell you. Thieves rarely have sympathy for the people they steal from.
It's just another victim.
That's why they steal from them, right?
Terrible.
As a matter of fact, Nick, give me 3 more minutes here, would you please? Because that's another thing that they were... Now, after they criticized the foundation, then they turn around and say, you know what the problem is with the Clintons? They are victims of their own excess. And I just about
what?
Felt,
yeah,
I just think about that for a second.
What?
They are victims of their own excess.
Victims having too much. I mean, the reality of it is, I mean, why didn't these people give money to like Salvation Army and all these other groups? In all seriousness,
right?
This was a sham. It was pay to play.
But. Think about this, though. Victims of they're trying to make the poor Clintons now look like victims. They did it to themselves, but they're victims. Oh.
What we call that kid that was, he got off the murder or whatever because he was, he lived so well that it wasn't his fault.
Oh, yeah, affluence. Well, yeah, the guy.
Affluenza.
Affluenza defense.
Maybe they suffer from a higher level of affluence.
Yes.
And you should feel sorry for him, and you don't, Chris.
Oh, that's shame on me. Shame on me.
You're an animal.
Yeah, victims of their own excess. Right.
Oh.
All right. And then they went on. They just make it so hard on themselves.
I know.
Oh, the poor things.
I wonder if they just wouldn't do that. Maybe we could be a driver for them when they go to their next
event.
I'd drive them. I don't think they'd get to where they're going.
This is typical liberal gobbledygook, though. You know, don't make them be responsible for their own actions. You know, no. Give them an excuse. And the excuse is their own actions. Give me a break.
And I love it when they describe all these wonderful charities of which they've all been, you know, in essence, the Clintons have skimmed them all. And that what wonderful people, because they brought water to Haiti and they brought, wait a second, they kept nine out of every $10. What are you talking about?
No, what they do is they take credit for what other organizations do and what George W. Bush did when he greatly reduced the incidence of AIDS in Africa. All right, let's go to Marshall. Marshall, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being there.
Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a testimonial. I was in rehab for almost a month, okay? 7 of my nurses were from Haiti.
Right.
They didn't have anything nice to say about the Clintons, let me tell you. And as far as anything being done, it's a joke. I don't know why Trump is not going down there and, you know, taking photographs. The only thing that's being built down there is being built by religious organizations, you know, churches and such that are helping people. As far as the Clintons, the money, I don't know where it went. probably to the probably Papa Doc Jr., you know, who is... I know he's not there anymore, but you know what I'm saying.
The
guy that was running the place.
But I'd probably more like Bill and Poppy Doc went down to the bunny ranch.
Well, how about Hillary's, her brother, right?
The money, their families, nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing was done.
It's
a big scam. I don't know why he's not taking photographs.
Well, let's just put it this way, you know, that did show up in the movie Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza, and I will bet you, I don't know if I'd bet the ranch on it, but I'm pretty sure that Bannon probably has some people down there right now filming some stuff for commercials.
I hope they're on the ball on that one. Why is he not demanding the transcript from her speeches?
He has been. He did.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to push it harder. I mean, he's you know, whatever he's got to do, he's got to get those.
Marshall, you are right. Do you know how indicting that will be to them to see her performing in front of these brokerage firms? All she's doing is telling them what they're going to get, not what they're going to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
She's basically telling them what they want to hear.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why she gets the money. How can we be that stupid?
Someone would tell the president of the United States that he's the president of the United States, the president of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but real quickly, the speeches might be a little bit embarrassing, but believe me, there's not going to be much in there.
We want to put her away.
They weren't getting Hillary Clinton to come there and give speeches because they were anxious to hear what Hillary Clinton had to say. Okay?
Right.
They were getting those speeches from her because they wanted access to what they could get done. Mm-hmm. She could have went in there and made, you know, put her hand under her...
made noises.
Yeah, you know, when you flap your arms.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody going, that's outstanding. That's worth $300 grand.
It would have been just great. Yeah. She could have chirped like a bird and they would have been happy. No, they'll be embarrassing. What is the problem for her, though, are the health records. That is where she has a serious problem that will shock people. The speeches, people will roll their eyes. The health records will shock people, but they both need to be produced. But thanks for the report on people from Haiti and their attitude toward the Clintons. And no, they are not at all appreciative, nor should they be. They got burned and bad. All right, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. So please stay with us, the American Adversaries. Alright, welcome back to the show. Did I hear the liar? We must be still talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. You know, Chris.
The Clinton gang.
My infamous Fender that I have all my stickers on.
Yeah.
You know, I got Police Lives Matter, Hillary for Prison, Liar, Liar, Pantsuit on Fire. You know, people give me thumbs up every time I go by. Right. I ran into a golf cart, and I've had to have a fender removed today, right? I was absolutely freaked out. I said, well, look, there's no deal unless you can get those stickers back on the new fender, right?
Right. Right. So,
I think they're going to do it, though.
All right. The UK, the Daily Mail in the UK has come up with an interesting story here, and it has to do, once again, with the Clintons, and let's see... the FBI interview over the death of the White House aide Vince Foster have gone missing from the National Archives. It was posted at WikiLeaks and comes from the Daily Mail. The dailymail.co.uk is where you can find this. The FBI interview. Now, these were interviews conducted...
When did it go missing? Just like recently?
Well, evidently they don't know when they went missing, exactly.
Yeah,
They've just been discovered to be missing, and I guess that's just another one of those things. You know, like the guy who got shot in the back the other week in Rich. You know, he was being robbed. He got shot to death by a robber. How many times do your petty robbers walk up and shoot somebody to death
and then leave his wallet on them?
That just doesn't make sense. That's not the way that type of petty crime works. This is just like I said.
These people leave
more
nothing
of the same.
If I was Trump, I would definitely offer money if you could find those tapes.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, we had to take a short segment that time because we were long before. But we'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We're going to talk about the American University being attacked today and the response, which is more interesting. I'll tell you why.
Big exhibition game tomorrow.
What? Where?
I think it's in Orlando. We'll talk about that, too.
We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey.
If you have downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device, and if you want to participate in tonight's poll question, we will see the results by the end of the show. As a matter of fact, we're going to give you an update here in just a minute. Thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We really appreciate that. And I am here with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. I'm Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. All right. Speaking of that poll question, Nick LoCicero, bring us up to date, please.
Yeah, people standing together on this one. Should UCF be constructing a statue of former UCF football coach George O'Leary? And it's unanimous right now.
Uh-oh.
No! Do not build the statue.
Nick, how could the newspaper write it up like this was such a great, wonderful thing?
I don't know.
That's their thing.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, can you imagine that? We have to send that over to the Slantnel, you know, let them take a look at that because they might understand. Maybe you ought to test market some of your articles or something.
That's it. I tell you
what. Wow.
So that's tonight's poll question. If you have downloaded the app, please participate in the question. We'll have the final tally before we go off the air tonight. And real quick, Nick, once again, if you'll remind the audience, in case they missed it earlier, your show tonight is when and where?
Yeah, WDW News Tonight, the radio show, the only radio show all about Walt Disney World news and reviews and fun things. And tonight we're playing Disney Parks Pursuit, our take on Trivial Pursuit. And it's a fun game, and we'll give out some great prizes tonight as well.
Hey, real quick question. Does Disney allow the Pokemon thing out there or whatever?
Of course, yeah, yeah. They can't, they can't stop people from opening the app and walking around and playing Pokemon Go around there. In fact, that's one of the best places to play. I don't think if I didn't live around Disney, I don't know if I'd play that much because there's so much to catch down there.
I'll be darned.
Chris, am I listening? Or,
you think there are any of the things in here?
There's definitely, I've caught a few in here. Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Nick, what type of big prize can I win now if I call in and have the answer for everything?
We have different things. We have anywhere from coins, like, you know, Disney Park coins, T-shirts, hats, things like that.
They get some good loot now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what time's the show?
9 to 11 tonight.
9 to 11?
15:20 WBZW.
I want to disguise my voice when I call in.
I don't think you can do that. All right, we're going to have the exterminators come in here and get rid of them rascals, though. All right, thanks for that, Nick.
That's an amazing result, 100%. Don't want the statue?
Well, like, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's not warranted.
Yeah.
And like, if they're anxious to have a ceremony and make a statue, carve it, whatever. Make it to Trevor Colburn.
I agree. Or, you know, better.
I mean, that guy, he really made UCF what it is.
I agree.
With the football program. He even made it UCF.
I agree.
Because when he got started
right.
there, it was FTU, Florida right. Technological University. And he wanted it to be more of a real university.
Yep.
And
I would say that if they get admitted to the Big 12, you know, the announcement's coming in the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll just be the ultimate positive for that university, both academically and athletically. Maybe they can put up a Big 12 sign or something, you know,
yeah.
make it look well, but spend your money wisely.
Yeah, Trevor Colburn. That's the person. I'm serious.
Yeah.
If they're going to make a statue out there, and they can put it in front of the football stadium
right.
because he brought football to UCF when people laughed and scoffed at it.
Right.
If you want to make a statue, make it somebody
in front.
Who is deserving.
They can have a little football right. in his hand with Don Jonas's name on it.
All right. Hillary Clinton, big trouble. And her aide, her number one gal, Huma Wiener. And some people like to say Huma.
You know,
but Huma Wiener.
You know, I call the big Wiener her husband.
Yeah, Carlos Danger.
Did you see he got caught? A guy catfished him. And that's what catfishing is when you're a male and you act like a female in a conversation, you know, over your phone. And he got nailed again.
So he thought he was talking to a woman.
Right, he thought he was talking to
and
a woman.
Some guy
and it was some guy, right? And they call it catfishing.
Oh, that's Mr. cruel.
I mean, I can't believe they published that. We all read it, and then you wonder, Huma, what are you doing? But I think I know why.
Well, who does
I won't
she
discuss
spend more,
it.
Who does she spend more time
yeah,
with,
that's
right?
What I'm saying. I think I know why. I don't want to discuss it.
But she has begun to get a lot more scrutiny mm-hmm. as these emails come out because her name is all over the place.
You got it.
With these, everything from Hillary. You've heard the one where she needed to get an Air Force jet because she didn't want to fly on a commuter
yeah.
airline. So she gets a hold of Huma, and Huma makes it all happen when she's having trouble with the remote control at home. She gets a hold of Huma. Huma makes it happen. When she needs to have a hot bath drawn, I guess Huma does that too, right? Huma does everything. And so Huma's name has been popping up all over the place, and she's right in the middle of this foundation. So people are beginning to look into Huma
yeah.
like we have done a long time ago. We've talked about her ties with the Muslim Brotherhood and her parents and all this stuff. And lo and behold, now, finally, the rest of the media is beginning to have to take notice of this.
You know,
now, obviously, you're not going to see anything about it on MSNBC anytime soon.
Oh, no, never.
But you can start to look for it on Fox and places. Mm-hmm. It's going to start creeping up around. They're going to start saying, let's look into who Huma is and do a little profile on Miss Aberdeen, right? And
I don't think you're going to like what you hear. Well, you know that masthead where her name was on the publication, which was written by, I think, her mother, that was
yep.
extremely aggressive in the sense of Sharia, all the horrible things of the Muslim religion.
And her mother.
And she was there.
And her
Huma's
mother.
There.
Her mother.
Mass.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. Right there with it.
And her mother wrote it, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like Chelsea and Hillary.
Yeah.
You know, two peas in a pod.
Right.
But her mother, excuse me, in the vein of the often wrong Reverend Wright, blamed the United States of America for 9/11.
Of course.
You know, it was all our fault, right, because of the mean, nasty things we do out in the world.
You're
and everything.
A colonialist.
Right, right, exactly. So she is going to be more and more the focus. Now, like I said, the mainstream media are going to avoid her like they have already been doing. But this is the email scandal. It's got so many nice little tangents
mm-hmm.
that it's taken us into, right? These
right.
emails, there's a little bit of everything there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You got the health issues there. You got the foundation there. You got this central role that Huma Aberdeen has been playing. Like
yeah.
I said, we've been talking about forever, but now somebody else is finally beginning to notice. And it just goes on and on. And so this is going to get a whole lot more interesting over these next few weeks.
I think this is a great period. This is like Monopoly or something. Every day we pull out a new email and here's what's going on, and it's completely a disaster to somebody.
And it is going to have an effect on the polls. I believe it's already having an effect in the polling. I think it's the evidence of this is going to be more dramatic over the next week or two. But, for instance, there's an Atlantic University, this is here in Florida,
right,
university
right down,
poll.
Yep, outside Palm Beach.
Yeah, that came out just today, this afternoon, that shows Donald Trump ahead here in the state of Florida, 43-41. And now this is contrary to the latest Quinnipiac poll and all these other polls that show Hillary Clinton widening her lead in Florida. No.
Wrong.
No. This
wrong,
is not happening.
Wrong.
And the... there was another poll, and this was done by one of the other polling agencies, I believe it was SurveyMonkey, that shows when it comes to military families, this should be obvious, but Trump is 51-41 ahead amongst military families.
I'm surprised it's that
families.
Close. I believe the military families are going to give him even stronger support. How can you go for a guy who's going to diminish, meaning Hillary will diminish the military financially, that'll hurt their pensions, hurt our ability to fight? I can't even believe it's that close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't believe it. And yeah. They had a survey this morning. Well, I think it was MSNBC. They had some, you know, sweet little guy walking around asking the military people up in Jacksonville,
yep,
who are you for, you know? And I think most of them go, Trump, Trump, Trump. And the guy's, oh, you know, get out of here.
Did you notice when he asked the two black gentlemen what they
right,
said?
Right, right. You're not kidding. Trump.
Yeah. The one guy, and he asked him why, basically. And one guy said because he dislikes Hillary more than Trump.
Well, that's
we'll
valid.
Take it.
I'll take it.
The other guy said because he believes that Trump will rebuild the military and, right, I quote, make America great again.
And the other thing, too, you do notice that they sometimes they're hesitant to say Trump, but they say it. That's why I think these polls, there may be a deep problem here in the using these polls.
The mainstream media keeps highlighting one poll that shows that Trump's getting about 1% of the black vote. But there are several other polls out there that show him getting anywhere from between 8-15%.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets 15%, it's bye-bye Hillary. And by the way, that's more than George W. Bush got. That's more than any Republican has gotten since the 1960s.
Right?
Right? So,
you know, Chris, think about it. As aggressively as he is campaigning, you know, with, well, you saw last night there was a number of blacks behind him on the stage. I mean, this guy is going after it. I mean, you talk about energy. Hillary, watch this man. He has all the energy you could ever ask for.
And his message is getting more and more optimistic,
right,
as this goes. These messages where he's appealing to, for instance, the black community, he's giving them a hope. He's saying, look, your situation, just look at your situation. It shouldn't be this way. It should be better. That right there is a powerful statement.
Right.
And then he says, and I'll help you get there. You see, he builds the argument. He says, look, you shouldn't be in this predicament. Your schools should be better. There should be more employment. There shouldn't be as much poverty. These are all obvious things.
They're very obvious, and like you, I agree 100% because then he's going to continue it, and he's going to turn heads. There's,
yep,
going to be a change. It's coming.
Well, whether he did this on purpose or not, he got everybody's attention. He got everybody watching every move he makes, and now he's delivering the winning message.
Yep. I think he has it pretty much down pat. It's just tell the story and campaign, 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 which Hillary, you're not, because you're tired.
Because she's sick.
Yeah, there's
she
something else.
She has Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got another segment to go. And don't forget if you want to...
There's three
segments to go.
We'll talk about that game tomorrow, which I'll bet you most people don't even know there is. We'll bring that up.
What, are they playing soccer tomorrow?
Well, they may be doing that, but there's another game, which was heavily touted by the city.
All right.
I talked to 7 people. I didn't even know the game was on. Tomorrow night.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
That's great.
Somebody get a dog biscuit.
Chris, we know who this barking sounds like, right? But maybe we got to change the song.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Maybe it's going to be who put the dog in, not out. The dog is not coming out of the cage. There's something going on. We don't know, right?
Oh, that's right. Just don't let her mess up on the carpet, right?
Oh.
All right. Welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we get back to the conversation, we just want to remind you that tomorrow night is contest night. Now, we've already gotten a couple of contest entries that this is about, you know, these email
right.
dumps. You never know where they're going to pop up. Well, they might even pop up in your email pile, right?
Chris, I mean, I think a lot of people probably could be intercepting them or maybe hacking them. But I know they're coming in. And I had a strange one on my, you know, my own email.
Right.
And It started off, it says, like, State Department, attention Hillary. And then I started reading it. It says, I want to join your donation, D-O-U-G-H, right? Then it says, here's $32 million. Please send me your nuclear code, your friend, Mr. Putin.
Oh, my
Now,
Lord.
That's the type of emails I think are out there. I don't know if this is hers. But that's sort of weird. All he
right.
wants to join the donation.
It's got the right the heading on it. Yeah, Dino now checked in with us last night, and he got a hold of one. And, you know, she talks about how all these emails mm-hmm. that they deleted were supposed to be about yoga and wedding plans.
Right.
Well, he got his hands on one that says that the word yoga is actually a code word. And it actually means your organization gets access.
So I wonder right? all the time she said that about what, you know, her wonder if she was sending signals out all the time.
Obviously.
Chris.
Obviously.
Oh, man. Dino must really be on top of this.
Right. And JJ, it's a similar thing. Yoga actually means being flexible with the truth.
That was good, too. That was real good. We'll have some fun tomorrow night. And some good prizes, too.
That's taking flexibility to a new level.
I
right?
know.
Yeah. All right. Now, a lot of the proof about Hillary actually being a liar came out with the Benghazi hearings
right.
and in particular about the video and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we now even have emails that show that she was emailing Chelsea and I guess this foreign minister over there in Egypt saying, no, this wasn't about a video. It was about
Colin Powell statement.
Yeah, Colin Powell statement.
He made her a liar.
Right, exactly. And by the way, I guess evidently Chelsea used an alias of her own, you know, like Anthony Weiner uses Carlos Danger.
No.
Yes. Chelsea Clinton is known as Diane Reynolds.
No, that sounds like like a skin flick star or something. Hi, this is Diane Reynolds.
Maybe she was doing something behind the husband's back. I don't know.
We're going to have to catfish her.
We're going to exactly see if old Anthony Weiner had any text going to Diane Reynolds or back and forth, right?
But that is her. Maybe we'll find some emails with that on it.
Maybe if our listeners are out there, Diane Reynolds, Chelsea, there you go, wedding. Hint, hint.
Oh.
All right. This American University has a campus in Afghanistan.
Right.
What in the world they're doing over there?
You know, that's why when I read it, I'm thinking American University in downtown Washington. But, you know, they're probably comparably violent. same streets.
I will say this. They have had university branches in places like Lebanon and Beirut.
Right.
In Lebanon, they've had, they've got one in Kabul. Mm-hmm. And people go to school there. I was recruited by American University when I was going to UCF, by the way.
Washington.
Yeah, they came down.
Yeah.
They wanted me to come up near
the NFL player's office. That's why I walked by
right?
the area a million times.
Yeah, they wanted me to come up there and study public policy. Wanted me to be a wonk, I guess. Anyway, I turned them down. The American University was under attack. It fell under a nighttime attack.
Right.
All right. See if there aren't similarities here as I describe this. It was an organized, militant, perhaps Taliban. I haven't seen the report on exactly who it was that conducted this attack.
Right.
Could have even been ISIS because they are in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
But this attack was carried out against the campus of American University in Afghanistan. And I presume they have some level of security around the university. You would think
I
at
would
least they have
so.
A fence or something.
Oh.
God. Anyway, the security was breached. The militants got into the university. At least one person was killed. This is an early report. One person was killed, 26 others injured. The students and teachers were texting out the situation. Please send help. This may be my last text, that sort of thing. Lo and behold, guess what? First of all, does that sound at all similar to some other event involving, say, Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
say, Benghazi,
mm-hmm.
a nighttime attack,
mm-hmm.
right, on Americans? You don't know really why it's happening. You know it's organized.
Play the tape again, right?
You don't know how long it's going to last, right? Lo and behold, guess what they were able to do, which was, of course, the right thing to do in response to the attack at the American University in Kabul, Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
They sent in special operations forces to take care of the bad guys and rescue the good people. Imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
They were able to do that. It's too bad that our military wasn't capable of such a rescue operation during the Benghazi incident. It would have been nice if, for instance, Hillary Clinton would have been able to contact the Pentagon and say, get some, let's say, some Marines in there. Marines who are stationed in areas ready to do just that. They are stationed in Italy, in Spain. They even had people in Libya, and yet they were somehow not able to get them. Oh, wait a minute. They had to change their clothes four times.
Chris, did you see that?
Now, but do you see what I'm talking about here?
This comes to the heart of what you're saying. On Fox today, they mentioned a leaked Army brief that reveals Clinton as the top security national threat. Boy, you wonder why. How is she going to work with her military, right?
This is what, you know, perplexes me about certain other people in the media who think somehow that Donald Trump is the worst thing that can happen to us, that we'll somehow manage to get through a Hillary Clinton presidency. Who in the hell are these people think they're talking about?
I mean, the danger.
Can you imagine her as commander-in-chief? Oh, Miss Clinton, so-and-so is under attack. We need to respond. We need the military to do something.
Yeah.
Oh, what are they wearing these days?
Yeah.
Can you show me pictures of their uniforms?
Yeah.
Miss Clinton, we need a response right now. Well, I need to know what they're wearing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just inappropriate. No, we can't have this. Those uniforms just won't do.
Yeah.
Huma, where's Huma? Huma, didn't I tell you about these uniforms? Didn't I tell you to take care of this? That's what you'll get with a Hillary Clinton presidency. And you have these freaking morons out there trying to say, we're people of principle. Why, we can't vote for Donald Trump. No, he's a mean man.
Well, I know. I heard that statement.
Boy, I know where I'd like to plant my foot where I hear
so
that kind of nonsense.
They understand the word mean.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, I can see missiles coming in from North Korea. What do we do, Hillary? Run outside and catch them. No, Hillary, it doesn't work that way. Oh, my God.
No, she'll be saying,
really scary.
Call the North Koreans and ask them why they're so upset with us. Try to set up a meeting.
We can live with the loss of three or four
cities. But, Ms. Clinton, the missiles are on the way. You want to bother me
mind.
With those
that's
details?
Yeah.
You son of a... That's what you'll get out of Hillary Clinton. All right.
Wow.
What you'll get out of us is poll results by the end of the show. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you so much for listening to us, the American Adversaries. And before we get moving along again, I just want to remind you, we'd love to have you come out to some events. Now, you can come to one, two, or all three that are coming up here soon.
That would be a true lover of American Adversaries.
Absolutely. And we'd have to give an award out.
Right.
But they start 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, we are going to be, that's September the 7th, we're going to be at Cafe Positano for our six-year anniversary celebration gala and spaghetti eating contest,
which, of course,
we'll be doing a live remote broadcast there from 5 to 7. We invite you to come out for the whole broadcast. Stick around afterwards. Lloyd Marcus is going to regale us with some tunes.
Fredheads will be there.
We'll have some prize giveaways and raffle type stuff going on. and you're invited to that. That's Cafe Positano, September the 7th. Festivities start at 5 o'clock.
And we have some openings for eaters.
Oh, yeah. If you want to be in the contest,
right?
Let us know.
The spaghetti is delicious.
Indeed it is. Mm-hmm. And it'll be all you need, too.
Yeah, 15 minutes worth of love.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to get in the contest, just call the call-in number 407-774-8255. Nick will take your information, and we'll get a table setting for you. And if you'd like to make reservations for that night at Cafe Positano, and I suggest you do, they're already getting bookings over there, you can do that by calling them at 407-774-8080, 407-774-8080 for Cafe Positano. And, of course, you can make reservations there for any occasion. And then that's the Wednesday, September 7th, 2 weeks from today. Then that Saturday, September the 10th, you're invited to the Blue Lives Matter celebration in Daytona Beach at the Ocean Convention Center, the Ocean Center right there on Daytona Beach. This is going to be a mid-afternoon event, late morning, mid-afternoon. It starts at 11 a.m. and it goes to 2 p.m. It is free. Lloyd Marcus is going to be once again performing there, but this is a celebration of Blue Lives Matter, and there are going to be a number of great speakers there, just helping us celebrate blue lives and showing our appreciation for police officers all around the nation. This is a free event, and we'd love to have you come out and join us for that. You can find out more information, and if you would like to make a donation or, for instance, buy one of Lloyd's CDs, you can do all of that at his website, LloydMarcus.com, LloydMarcus.com. So that's the 7th, then the 10th, and then the 12th, which is the following Monday. Mm-hmm. So you got Wednesday, Saturday, and then that next Monday, you are invited to the, let me get the proper information out. It's the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour. You think I'd have that memorized by now?
They're going to 9 states. Right.
Nine states. They'll be barnstorming around.
And I think we're first.
Yep. And it's going to end up in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour, September the 12th. That's that Monday at the Lake Mary Event Center right up there. It's real easy to find. And you can get tickets for that by going to am660theanswer.com, am660theanswer.com. Or if you're listening right now, you're either listening on the computer or you're listening on your smart device because you've downloaded the app. You can get them via the app as well.
Right.
There are sort of two events in one here. One event is free. Of course, everybody's invited to both events. There is limited seating, though. But one event is free. It is the actual roundtable discussion. It's the America in the Balance discussion. That's what the tour is all about. If you were at the one 4 years ago, you got a taste of what this is all about. That begins at 12:30. The tickets for that are free. Now, at 11:30, you can have lunch and meet and greet all of the speakers.
Because you're going to be the moderator, right?
I'm going to, well.
Or maybe.
I may actually be on the panel.
On the panel.
That's right. So,
let's see who has the best answers.
Yeah, the way they're talking about doing this now is that Hugh Hewitt would actually be the moderator. And the local host from the area, plus Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, and John Voight will be the panelists. So we'll see what they come up with, but it will be. Hugh Hewitt will be there. Mike Gallagher will be there. Dennis Prager and John Voight will all be there for the meet-and-greet reception at 11:30. I'll be there. Mike's going to be there. And that'll be
a lot of fun. But boy, imagine the information you'll be able to get though on these current issues and the status of our two candidates.
Exactly, the VIP meet and greet reception. There are the tickets for that you have to purchase. They are $35 each, and of course that will get you into the roundtable discussion event, and you will have VIP up front seating in the roundtable discussion event.
Right.
All right, so for $35, you will get treated as a VIP and get to meet up close the VIPs. And they're all really nice guys, and they love to take pictures with you and hoo-ha with you and all that sort of thing.
That last event we had was terrific, about 3 months ago. That was a packed at the right up here in Altamont Springs.
Yeah, indeed. So that's a triple treat for you, I guess. Triple treat. September 7th, Cafe Positano. You can make reservations.
Spaghetti.
407-774-8080. That's right. September 10th, Blue Lives Matter Celebration. You can get those. Find out more by going to LloydMarcus.com. And I don't think you need a ticket. You just need to be there. LloydMarcus.com. That's at the Ocean Center in Daytona on that Saturday. And then that Monday, the September the 12th, the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour. Please take advantage of one, two, or all three of those events. Love to see you at each and every one. So, got a lot of things going on here. And, of course, as the election approaches, we'll have more events out there that we'll be participating in as well. So, look forward
to Hillary's dresses.
Oh, God. You
know, getting new type the bag to wear on her head.
You say that reminds me of the episode of The Simpsons where Homer joined the stone cutters.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, they had Patrick Stewart was doing the voice of the head stone cutter, and when he went through his initiation, they burned his clothes, and like these ghosts and spirits all flew out of his clothes. Can you imagine what would come out of Hillary's?
I know. If you were like, how about if you were wringing them, then all this stuff came out?
But
it'd even be worse if sweat came out. You just go, I can't take it.
Oh, Lord God.
Well, that's part of a campaign. All right.
Real quickly, once again, our poll question tonight is, should UCF erect a statue to George O'Leary? It's ridiculous. If you want to get in on that poll question, though, you can. The last time we checked, it was overwhelmingly, as a matter of fact, unanimously no.
100% no.
If you want to check in, we'll have the final results here in a few minutes.
We got to get Nick to send that across to the Sentinel. Yeah, I think they would enjoy that.
But that's not the only football news you probably haven't heard about here in town.
Yeah, we went through this. When I walked in here today, Chris, I asked about five people. I said, man, aren't you excited about the Miami-Atlanta Falcons game tomorrow night? And they go, what are you talking about? I said, you know, we have two NFL projects here. We have the Pro Bowl, and then we have the Atlanta Falcons-Miami game.
The preseason.
And like, no one even knows what's going on. And then I noticed in the paper today, I don't think there was a story.
I've got the sports right here. We'll have to see if we can find one.
You would think it would be plastered all over the front page or something, right? I mean, we are a big NFL city. And I believe I'm waiting to see the attendance tomorrow night. I hope it's good, but I got an eerie feeling that I may be right, that it's not going to be very good. And they got some good players coming. You know, Patrick DeMarco, who played at Lake Brantley, he plays for the Falcons. I think this is his sixth year, which is very commendable.
Yep.
He is the player rep for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
And a high-quality kid. But I just can't believe that no one really knows the games tomorrow night. Everybody I asked, hey, it's going to be a lot of – what game? And then, like, Chris, you think now it will outdraw another game tomorrow night, right? Or is that game tonight? When's the soccer game?
I don't know.
It seems like the soccer team has just faded into oblivion. I mean, I don't know whatever happened to them, you know?
There is a very small mention of – and
There is?
It's just at the top of the story about the Dolphins. It's two lines, and it says –
yeah, I wouldn't even – that's why I didn't notice it.
Dolphins versus Falcons, Thursday, 8 p.m., Orlando's Camping World Stadium. That's all there is, and it's on the back page
sports
section.
For an NFL, a future NFL city, Orlando. Wrong.
No.
Don't think. We'll be looking forward tomorrow. I'm going to get here early, too, before 5, Chris, so I can beat the traffic. Because, you know, they'll all be going down to get to the game.
Oh, yeah. I bet they will be.
Yeah, right. That train's going to be packed going back and forth.
I'll be surprised if they get 25 or 30,000 people in the stadium for that tomorrow night.
Anyway. Boy, will that be embarrassing. Again, that was a deal the city sold to the public, that there'd be just massive excitement. What? You know?
Well, I don't know.
That's great, right?
I don't know. Maybe back in the 80s where there would have been excitement about that, but it doesn't seem to be out there tonight.
Preseason just seems to be such a dead thing because you play most of your cuts, you know, and they won't even be there during the regular season. I don't know this day and age if they still charge the same prices for preseason as you know, season. Who knows?
Yeah, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about some events, and we were talking about this Blue Lives Matter celebration that Lloyd Marcus is putting together. Bless his heart, he's working hard to get this thing together, too. And it's never easy to put something like this together even if you have a year to do it.
Oh, I know.
You
know? Such
and,
hard
and he's
work.
Doing this in like 6 or 7 weeks. But the, you know, all we have to do is show up, folks. That's the easy part. All we have to do is show up. But, you know, you got the Black Lives Matter out there, and they're going around preaching their particular form of bigotry and hate. But, it, you know, there are a lot of people out there who fall into the trap of buying into that. Had you heard about there was a Taco Bell that happened in this was in Alabama, where some police officers went up to get some.
They wouldn't serve them.
And they wouldn't
yes,
serve
I
them.
Yes, I did. I read that.
And the manager actually ended up getting fired, mm-hmm. and would, appropriately so, because I guess evidently the counter person didn't want to do it. And the manager, I guess, came up to see what was going on and said, yeah, no, don't serve them. I mean, come wow. on. Well, guess what? It happened again. And this was in Louisville. And let's see, this is reported by WDRB in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm going to read now just a little bit from the story. Taco Bell has launched an investigation after 5 LMPD officers claimed they were denied service at one of the restaurants in Louisville. According to Fraternal Order of Police President David Mulchler, 5 uniformed LMPD officers working the state fair stopped at the Taco Bell on Preston Highway and on August the 18th, lunchtime. That's when one man behind the counter reportedly walked away saying, I'm not taking their order. And I think that's pretty much what happened yeah. in Alabama. The guy at the counter wouldn't even deal with them. Mutchler says a young lady then stepped forward saying she would take the order. In the meantime, the officers heard a conversation between 2 other employees that were food preparers. One of them told the other one, I want to mess with them. I want to mess with them. He followed that up by saying, I'm going to mess with them. I'm going to mess with them. The officers didn't see any managers and decided it was best to leave. Yeah. When your food preparer is back there saying, I want to mess with you.
Not good. I'd not be leaving good. Too.
Did you ever see the movie Casino?
Yeah. Yep.
There's
a
part in the movie where they're running this legitimate restaurant, right?
Right.
And they make some sandwiches, and you see the guy spit on the sandwiches,
oh, yeah.
and then he takes them to the counter, all wrapped up nice and everything, right. and he gives them to a couple of cops.
Have you ever worked in a restaurant, Chris? When I was in college, I worked
did.
In about 2 or 3.
Yeah.
You know, I would not, if the guy's upset with you, I would just leave the restaurant because you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
I can assure you that.
Poisoning or something,
spit to me is nothing compared to what I've seen.
Or salmonella poisoning, one of those. Anyway, but yeah, you could, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'd be long gone out of there.
Yeah, I was a busboy.
But yeah, no,
for a while. That
actually,
was a cool
I
job,
made,
actually.
I made taffy. Inside a window on the boardwalk.
You know,
the big kettles? It was called
Copper
Kettle Fudge.
Yeah.
And you get a big label.
You were the guy in the window.
And you put the stuff in, and then you every once in a while.
You would stir it.
Right. I would stir it, but I
with
do.
With the paddle.
Yeah. But I would do little tricks. What I would do is I'd have it would look like there's stuff in it and there wouldn't be anything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the people would be crowded around the window
looking
at me. And then I would play like I was getting sick, and I'd kept a whole bunch of coconut in my mouth, and I play like I threw up. You know, you see everybody scatter all over the place. And, you know, I mean, there wasn't anything in there.
But, you dirty dog.
A couple
you.
Of us in college did that. We would laugh so hard about that. I also made short order breakfasts. How about that one?
I can just
I
see you
at the
as a
waffle
short order
shop in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Yeah, I could see you tossing burgers and pancakes and things. All right, yeah, it can be interesting.
I'm
working
a swinging guy, buddy.
I hear you. All right, let's swing into a break. When we come back, we got one more segment of the show. Don't forget, you got Larry Elder who's going to follow us at 7:00. So you still got a lot of great live radio to go. Please stay around. We'll be right back. To the show, folks. We got one more round to go here, and then Larry Elder is going to pick it up and take you forward from there. Once again, thanks for being with us tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. Mike McBath had to duck out to go to an NFL meeting. So, but he'll be back in the saddle tomorrow night. And don't forget, we're going to be doing another contest. It will be contest Thursday. And it will be the email reveal. That's right, folks. We're in the mood to reveal as many emails as we can. So if you've gotten your hands on an email, we want to help you reveal that to the world. And that will be tomorrow night. So please get those contest entries ready to go. All right. Just a couple more things we have time for here tonight. We were talking earlier about some of these polls that are coming out now. The Atlantic University poll showing Donald Trump ahead here in Florida. There is the LA Times poll, which shows this race neck and neck. That's a national poll. And I believe we're going to begin to see a significant shift in these polls as we get through Labor Day and more people begin to take this thing more and more seriously. And by the way, the polls that show Hillary Clinton holding on to a significant lead of around 8 points or so, that's what the latest Reuters poll shows. And by the way, they are now using a new technique, which they changed suddenly and coincidentally right about the same time as the Democratic convention. These are your standard polls where they're calling people anonymously, and all they seek is people basically who are on the voting registers. Some of the polls go a little bit further and try to seek out quote-unquote likely voters, and those are people who they can see from the public record have voted regularly in recent elections. But they're not polling people who are not likely voters, and they're not polling people who haven't voted for a long time. And it's the old standard call you on the phone type thing. The online polls, however, where people are a little bit more anonymous, they're not talking with a human being, they're being polled online, those polls do not coincide with the polls that we're hearing about in the media, the old standard telephone polls. Those polls, just like the LA Times poll, show this race much closer. It's within a couple of percentage points either way. So this is right now a neck-and-neck race. And what I believe we're going to begin to see, it'll start showing first in the online polls. And maybe even the LA Times poll. I believe we're going to start seeing Donald Trump pull into the lead and then begin to grow that lead. When that happens, the panic that is already just barely under the surface out there amongst liberals in the media and in the Democratic Party, that panic, which is just sort of, as I say right now, just underneath the surface, is going to come boiling to the top because they know they have a flawed candidate. When you have a candidate that can't do interviews or can't do press conferences, can't do rallies on a regular basis because, well, the health issues aside, because she has so many political problems, you got a real problem. And the only thing that they've been able to hang their hat on, pin their hopes on, was that they could vilify Donald Trump and that he would help them vilify himself to the point where people just would hold their nose, proverbially, the old proverbial hold your nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. The problem for Hillary Clinton is her magnitude of untrustworthiness and just low down disgusting behavior is growing exponentially. And in the meantime, Donald Trump is becoming more civil, if you will. So this is not going to bode well for the Clinton campaign going forward here. And if they are pinning their hopes on stealing the election by rigging it, by stuffing the ballot box or whatever, well, they're going to have to go to extraordinary lengths, I believe, to do so. Not to say that they can't or won't do that, but it's going to get to the point that that's the only way that they're going to be able to win this election. Like Donald Trump said, the only way that they'll win Pennsylvania is if they cheat. I don't know about that so much, but I do know that this election is yet to get really in gear, this campaign. We'll see over the next couple of weeks that these polls will, quote-unquote, tighten up and we'll be told by the media that this is a natural thing, and to a certain extent that it is. But the problem for Hillary is she's maxed out. She's not going to go up in support. Her only chance is to drive down Donald Trump's support. Donald Trump, however, still has the ability to increase his support. Because there is so much disgust and disdain for Hillary Clinton, his is let's just say his problems are solvable. Her problems are not. That's why the media has to keep her, and her campaign has to keep her out of the public limelight as much as possible and just try to run out the clock on this election. But that's like playing a prevent defense in football. Seldom does it work. And I believe Donald Trump will begin to show some early signs of momentum, probably as early as the end of next week. And once that begins to happen, look out. It could really begin to roll in his favor. I'm not saying he's going to win by a landslide, but I will say this. He could win by a significant margin in the popular vote and in the Electoral College. This thing can flip real quick. And all the let's just say, the weight that would flip it is on Donald Trump's side. It's not on Hillary Clinton's side. That woman is in big trouble. Her campaign is in big trouble. And when your only real path to success is to hope the other guy flames out, you got a big problem. All right. That's just about going to do it for us tonight, because we got a problem with the clock. The doggone thing keeps running out on us. All right. Let's see. Don't forget, tomorrow night, big contest night. And then Friday night, Colonel Danny McKnight is going to join us. So it's always interesting when the Colonel tunes in or when he is with us and you can tune in. And don't forget, tomorrow the Rays are playing an early afternoon game against the Boston Red Sox, because then they hit the road and they'll be playing late Friday night. So we shouldn't be interrupted either tomorrow or Friday night. We won't be interrupted Friday night. The only possibility is if the game goes into extra innings tomorrow, it might interrupt us. But let's hope that they don't do that. Let's hope that they take care of business and that we get this show started on time at 5 o'clock on the airwaves. And don't forget, please, if there's a show that you'd like to hear again, or if you want to join the American Adversaries Army, we would love you to do so. You can do that by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, that's just about going to do it. Don't forget, did we have any change in our poll?
No, it's 100% no.
All right, and don't forget, Nicholas Cicero, right up the dial at 9 o'clock, 1520 WBZW with WDW News. Night, everybody.
Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.